Okay.
And so the family needs prayers and calling for his or having a hard time with it.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read then other members that need our prayers as well, and including our brother Jacob that just sat down. Jacob Denham, Jason Lamont, Amy Moser, Michaela Sinkowitz, the Hawkins family, Margaret Owen, Richard Diamond. And I think that we could honor our Father by having a season of prayer for these now. And I'd like to ask, are there other names you'd like to mention? Brother Jacob. Can you say his name again a little bit? Gilberto Murguia. Murguia. Okay. Anyone else? Sister Irene. Okay, let's pray for Ruby's side. Okay, let's pray for our sister Ruby as well. Lorelli? For my... Our brother Trevor here is prepared to preach to us God's word. He loves our Father in heaven. He is a father himself and tries to teach his children the things that God has taught him. And I think that we will have the opportunity to hear some of those things that God has taught him today. Let's give attention to what he has to say. Pray that he might preach to us the words that God wants him to preach and that we might hear those words. And let's give him a big smile, our brother Trevor Ratt.
Good morning. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll try and be as brief as I can. I want to start in 1 Peter this morning. I know it's Father's Day, and I hope you weren't expecting a Father's Day sermon. Start in the first chapter, the seventh verse. This message has been on my mind for several weeks now, and some of you kind of got a little bit of a preview of it there a few weeks ago, but anyway, the seventh verse, that the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That the trials of your faith. And that word trial means to see how you think. And it's really precious to see how you think. In good times, we don't look inside ourselves and see what kind of person we really are. Only through those trials, we look at ourselves and assess our characters, what we believe, and how we deal with people. I want to stay in Peter here for the most part. I want you to go to the fourth chapter, the 12th verse. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Think it strange. What does that mean? You can't believe that these things happen to you. Would happen to you. You believe in Christ. Your Savior. Why would He allow those things to happen to us? I think about Job. And you know, many years ago, when I had those trials happen to me, I used to tell the Lord, I am not Job. And that was my immaturity as a Christian. And I'm sure Job was a little surprised when his servant came to him and told him that his sons and his daughters had all been killed, and that all his flocks and all his possessions had all vanished, all been taken from him. To see how you think. I'm sure it was a surprise, but yet we shouldn't be surprised. Let's go to the same chapter, 17th verse. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And if these trials are to see how we think, how different are we than the rest of the world? And their thinking, in many instances, not much different. We see the turmoil around us, especially in the church, with jobs, with families, with illnesses, with the losses of loved ones. Think it's strange that these trials come before us? Is it still a mystery? How about Abraham? Let's go to Genesis 22. I'm going to read I'm going to start in the third verse. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men. Let me go back and just read the first verse. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Now think about that. You as parents, as fathers, how could you do that? And you know that God didn't give him any wiggle room. He had two sons. He had Ishmael too. But he made sure the one that meant the most to him, meant everything to him, thy only son Isaac. Because he probably would have taken Ishmael. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted the best. Let's see. 3-4. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Do you imagine riding 3 days next to your son that you knew you were going to sacrifice? I want you to think about that. It was one of those trials. Oh, how difficult that would have been. But we know what kind of a man Abraham was. To see how you think. Let's see. Let's go to the 12th verse now. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou hast feared God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from him. Fearest God. 16th verse. 15th. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by thyself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. God was pleased with the sacrifice that he was willing to give to be obedient. Obey my voice. Let's go back to Peter, 1 Peter. First chapter, 22nd verse. Seeing you have purified your souls, purified. What does it mean? It's a process. You take out the imperfections. You change it. You make it more pure. Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. What does that mean? It means without hypocrisy. It means that you love one another because of no other reason than who they are. No ulterior motives. Love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Not just a little bit. That you would do anything for them. So if these trials come before us, and these trials change us, how do they change us? When we look at ourselves, we see the way we think is quite wrong in many instances. And hopefully we repent. We change that way of thinking. And maybe then we can be serviceable to our God. I want to go to the Book of Mormon. There's only one place where that word is used, serviceable. And it is page 480. And it is the 21st chapter of Alma. And I'm going to read the 142nd verse. 142nd. Now behold, Helaman and his brethren were no less serviceable unto the people than was Moroni, for they did preach the word of God, and they did baptize with repentance all men whosoever would hearken unto their words. Repentance. And this was talking about Moroni. And if we go over to the page previous, the 132nd verse, and Moroni was a strong and mighty man. He was a man of perfect understanding. Yea, a man that did not delight in bloodshed, a man whose soul did joy in the liberty and the freedom of his country and his brethren from bondage and slavery. Yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestowed upon his people. A man who did labor exceedingly for the welfare and safety of his people. Yea, and he was a man who was firm in the faith of Christ, and he had sworn with an oath to defend his people, his rights and his country and his religion, even to the loss of his blood. You think it was trials that he had in his life? You betcha. You betcha. This was a mighty man who obviously had many trials in his life. I want to go to page 407, because this is about repentance. This is about changing who we are and why we receive these trials. I want to start in the 51st verse of the 15th chapter of Alma. And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And thus we see that great reason to sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. These guys had just gone through a great trial. And this is Alma. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with the voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. It was a good thing that he wanted. It was a great thing that he wanted. But behold, I am a man and do sin in my wish. For I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. I ought not to harrow up my desires the firm decree of a just God, for I know that he granteth unto men according to their desires, whether it be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he allotteth unto men, yea, decreeth unto them, decrees which are unalterable, according to their wills, whether they be unto salvation or unto destruction. Yea, and I know that good and evil have come before all men, or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him it is given according to his desires, whether he desireth good or evil, life
or death, joy or remorse of conscience. Now, seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? Why should I desire that I was an angel that could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue to teach his word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit, that they should have therefore, we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. I know which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. Some soul to repentance. It wasn't to change the whole world. It wasn't to be commanded that everyone just follow along and believe in Christ. Was that free will agency? Someone that God gave a trial to. Sister asked me the other day, she wanted to do a good thing. She wanted to bring people to a greater knowledge of the gospel. Good thing. It was the most wonderful conversation I'd had with someone in a long time. But you know what? If people are satisfied where they're at, you're never going to change their mind. They're happy where they are. They won't change. They won't even usually consider what you say. But when trials come before them, to see how you think, and we see those flaws in our character, and God helps us change them. It took a great trial in my life to set me on this path that I've chosen of change. And in that change, there was people that God put in my path. That loved me into the gospel. And it was something real. It was incredible. That even in that time, that darkest time, God poured out his Spirit upon me. He gave me some of the most marvelous miracles that I could not deny my God. We sometimes look at those trials as being detriments. In Isaiah it says, I am the potter, you are the clay. He molds us into what he can use. You want to be that piece of clay that throw away? I don't think so. Last scripture, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, first through the 7th verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endureth chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom thy father chasteneth not? And I want to thank you all for your time, and I pray that you received something out of this message. God bless you.
Will you please bow your heads with our brethren?